It's Thursday, May 28th, and this is VOA's International Edition. I'm Sarah Williams reporting from Washington. Coming up, U.S. Defense Secretary Ashton Carter calls for an easing of tensions in the South China Sea.
We want a peaceful resolution of all disputes and an immediate and lasting halt to land reclamation by any claimant.
We look at grassroots efforts to end domestic violence against women in Bangladesh. And we get the latest news about country music. It's all ahead. Just days after controversial remarks about Iraqis' willingness to fight, U.S. Defense Secretary Ashton Carter called for an immediate and lasting halt to land reclamation and the militarization of disputed features in the South China Sea. Speaking in Hawaii during a change of command ceremony at U.S. Pacific Command Wednesday, Carter called for a peaceful resolution of disputes and an immediate and lasting halt to land reclamation by any claimant in the South China Sea.
We want a peaceful resolution of all disputes and an immediate and lasting halt to land reclamation by any claimant. We also oppose any further militarization of disputed features. Second, and there should be no mistake, the United States will fly, sail, and operate wherever international law allows, as we do all around the world. Finally, with its actions in the South China Sea, China is out of step with both international norms that underscore the Asia-Pacific security architecture and the regional consensus in favor of a non-coercive approach to this and other long-standing disputes.
His comments follow a Chinese protest after a U.S. spy plane last week flew over the Spratly Islands, where China is engaged in land reclamation. The Pentagon this month said China had reclaimed 800 hectares at five different sites, most of it this year. The U.S. defense chief says China's actions are bringing countries together in new ways, and their increasing demand for American engagement in the Asia-Pacific. He pledged the U.S. would remain the principal security power in the Asia-Pacific for decades to come. Ralph Kosa is a regional security analyst with the Hawaii-based Pacific Forum. He tells VOA's Victor Beatty the defense chief's remarks are nothing new. Kosa refers to the 2002 Declaration on Conduct of Parties in the South China Sea, an agreement between the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, or ASEAN, and China, committing the parties to a code of conduct aimed at peace and stability.
I don't think there's anything that the Chinese haven't heard before, but this was certainly put all in one fairly blunt statement and certainly forceful coming from the Secretary of Defense. You know, the fact that the U.S. wants everyone to stop essentially cheating on the declaration on the conduct of parties of the, you know, in 2002, they all of them agreed to not do anything that would change the status quo. And since then, everybody has been doing things to change the status quo. So the U.S. position has been knock it off. To me, the only sensible thing is a rollback to 2002. That's when everybody promised to behave, and they ought to be held to that promise. And certainly the U.S. is essentially saying that, quit changing the status quo, quit doing things that are making the situation worse. And it says to all parties, although obviously the most egregious has been China.
This comes after Mr. Carter created quite a stir about Iraq and Iraqi troops' unwillingness to stand and fight as they left Ramadi. Is he stirring the pot again?
He's telling the truth. If truth-telling stirs the pot, you know, to me it's sort of refreshing to have a Secretary of Defense that actually is, you know, calling a spade, and, you know, he's perhaps a little more blunt and a little less diplomatic than some have been, but I think the situation both in Iraq and here calls for it.
A defense spokesperson this week indicated that what China is doing in the disputed islands of the South China Sea is nothing more than what it does at home, building roads and bridges.
This is clearly the Chinese justification. This is our territory, and therefore we can expand and do this, that, and the other thing on it, and nobody should be able to say anything. There are others that believe this is not Chinese territory, and because these are reefs that you know, you can pile up a lot of sand and get it above the high water mark, but these are not features in the ocean that under UNCLOS you can claim sovereignty. So if you can't claim sovereignty, you can build all you want on it and somebody else can still fly over because technically it's still international waters. And that's, I think, specifically what the Secretary is saying, what the U.S. position has been.
What do the overflights tell us with regard to intelligence gathering that perhaps satellites can't?
I think the overflights are more of freedom of the seas exercise than they are an intelligence collection exercise. Sure, they're taking pictures. The thing about a picture taken from an airplane is it's a lot more releasable. You don't release to the general public your best satellite photography because that's sensitive to show that kind of resolution. But this provides photography that you can put on the front page of the Washington Post or New York Times, and that's always handy. But it's more, I think, it's as much or more the principle involved as it is the intelligence collection, because there are other ways that you can be collecting intelligence on it. It's to demonstrate freedom of the seas. The U.S. regularly sails ships through the various straits in the South China Sea and, you know, the straits between Indonesia, Philippines, you know, even our ally, the Philippines. We sail ships through various straits just to remind everyone that this is international waters and you don't have to get host nation permission to do it any more than you need U.S. or Mexican permission to sail around in the Gulf of Mexico.
That's Ralph Cossa of the Pacific Forum. East-West Institute Senior Fellow Denny Roy says the Carter speech demonstrates Washington will not honor any Chinese attempt to create an economic exclusion zone or territorial waters boundary around any of their artificial islands. He says China will almost certainly not stop its land reclamation efforts in the South China Sea, and that could undermine the U.S. objective of retaining its regional leadership. Roy says it could also increase the chance of an incident involving U.S. and Chinese ships and aircraft. The state-run China Daily Thursday said China's island construction work in the South China Sea is designed to provide better services for vessels. It said this will help China better shoulder its international responsibilities in the South China Sea, including search and rescue missions, disaster prevention and mitigation, meteorological observation, ecological conservation, navigation safety, and fisheries services. It also criticized Washington for failing to honor its commitment to neutrality in the South China Sea, warning its meddling is destabilizing. During his second trip to the region since becoming defense chief in February, Carter will attend a regional security meeting known as the Shangri-La Dialogue, where a Chinese delegation is expected to take part in Singapore, as well as stops in India and Vietnam. Well, joining me here in the studio is web desk editor Andrew Polshevsky with a look at what's trending. So, Andrew, what's happening?
Well, one story that's trending this morning, if you have an Apple device, you might want to be careful because there's apparently a string of text that could shut down your phone and cause it to restart.
Oh, no.
It's actually something that has to do with Apple's operating system and reading non-Latin characters, so Arabic, Chinese, those kind of things. What's interesting about this is it was first discovered on the social site Reddit by some of the users on there, and it's been trending on Twitter. Now it's kind of become a prank that people are pulling. They're actually sending this string of characters to folks to get them phone shut down. Interesting, though, that the Guardian newspaper out of the UK said that they tried 50 different variations of the supposed string and only got it to work once. So maybe maybe not as big a deal as people are bringing out, but if you know that text, then you might want to watch out.
Yeah.
Another big story that's trending here in the U.S., the Golden State Warriors are going to the NBA Finals where they play the Cleveland Cavaliers. They beat the Houston Rockets last night. But what's trending out of that is not just the result of the game, it's Stephen Curry's daughter. He's the star, Stephen Curry, of the Golden State Warriors. His daughter, Riley, is 2 years old, and she's kind of stolen the show, coming to the press conference afterwards and dancing around, just kind of twirling, hiding under curtains, and everyone laughing, giggling about that. So she's become kind of a social media star now. People are sharing the videos on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram, but she's stolen the show from these athletes, these hulking athletes. A two-year-old girl is the big story out of that.
She's got a taste for the limelight, sounds like.
She does, for sure. And Stephen Curry said he has some personality, but it all comes from his wife, so that was kind of funny. And then to bring it back again to sports, FIFA, we were talking about yesterday, this big scandal. I just want to give you some quick numbers that I pulled this morning. The day before this scandal broke, hashtag FIFA was used about 2,500 times. In the past 2 days since, it's been used over 400,000 times. So that gives you some sense of the global magnitude of this scandal. And surely we're going to see more use of that in the coming days. I know Sepp Blatter, the chairman, president of FIFA, is up for election tomorrow. So I'm sure there'll be some hashtags coming out of that. And more to follow for sure in the social world.
Absolutely. It's a huge story. Well, thanks very much, Andrew. That's web desk editor Andrew Polshevsky. This is International Edition on The Voice of America. I'm Sarah Williams. A Tibetan mother of two set herself on fire Wednesday to protest China's repressive policies towards Tibetans. Sang Ye So self-immolated in front of a Chinese security and re-education building located within the compound of Chaoprasheng in the Chinese province of Gansu. We'll be back in a moment.
Here are the news headlines from VOA. Russian President Vladimir Putin is criticizing the United States for its corruption indictment against officials from football's governing body, FIFA, saying the case is an attempt by the U.S. to spread its jurisdiction to other countries. Russia is scheduled to host the World Cup in 2018. The U.S. Defense Secretary Ash Carter has called for an immediate and lasting halt to China's land reclamation and militarization of disputed islands in the South China Sea. Iran's foreign minister says his country can reach a final agreement on its nuclear program with a group of world powers, including the United States, within a reasonable period of time. However, he says there can be no excessive demands. And the Dalai Lama is urging Myanmar's Aung San Suu Kyi to speak out in protest over the treatment of Rohingya minority members in her country. I'm Ira Melman, VOA News.
This is International Edition on The Voice of America. Coming up, we get the latest news about country music. In Bangladesh, domestic violence against women and girls who live in slum areas is widespread. Efforts to improve the situation are difficult because of ingrained cultural norms. But a campaign by a group of nonprofit organizations is trying to spark change among thousands of the country's poor. Amy Yee reports from Dhaka.
In a slum in Dhaka, 10 people sit in a narrow lane between small homes with tin roofs. Women with colorful shawls on their heads sit on a mat next to four men. They listen as two female health workers talk about sexually transmitted diseases and contraceptives. The health workers also display photos of diseased genitals. This surprisingly frank discussion is part of a program called Shoki that aims to improve health and reduce domestic and sexual violence in 15 slums in Dhaka. The program, which is sponsored by several nonprofit organizations, offers legal aid, health, and reproductive health services in tiny offices throughout 15 slums, as well as counseling and community information sessions on topics like conflict resolution or anger management. The audiences are locals who live in the slums. The men typically work as auto rickshaw drivers and construction workers, security guards, while the women are tailors, small shopkeepers, and homemakers. They all volunteer to be so-called change makers, who act as community ambassadors against gender-based violence and lead small groups. There are 1,500 of these change makers trained by about 45 professional community workers. Rashida Begum, a 32-year-old tailor, became a change maker more than a year ago. Her husband used to slap her frequently, she said. But after Shoki's awareness sessions, her husband has not hit her in more than a year. She says, before, if anything happened in the home, he got very angry at me and would beat me. Now, he's working with this group and getting a lot of information that you shouldn't do this. After she learned about her legal rights, Rashida even got her husband arrested after he illegally married a second wife. He eventually ended that marriage and returned to Rashida and her family. In Bangladesh, gender-based violence and domestic violence is widespread. Physical and emotional abuse by husbands is common among the poor. Women and girls in urban slums experience high rates of violence and poor sexual and reproductive health. Girls who marry early are more vulnerable. Bangladesh has the world's fourth highest rate of child marriage. Here, 65% of young women marry before the age of 18. But through Shoki, men and women are learning that abuse is unacceptable and illegal. Through small group sessions, many women and girls are learning about their rights for the first time. On Hot Spring Day, another group of 20 slum residents were starting their three-day training to become changemakers. Amid the women, there were five men who sat on the floor of a school in a slum in an area of Dhaka called Mohammadpur. Mahbub Alam, a 45-year-old night security guard, attended the training during his off hours. He explains why he volunteered to become a changemaker. He says, "We think we live in an undignified way. We have an opportunity to change this." Despite the difficulty of fighting gender-based violence in Bangladesh, Shoki is raising hopes that change can happen from the ground up. Amy Yee for VOA News, Dhaka.
I'm Millar Sagan, host of VOA's The Correspondents, a weekly roundup of the top stories with analysis from our dedicated reporters around the globe.
Among the stars expressing support, Frida Pinto.
This is a problem that afflicts almost every country.
Think of it as a conversation on the biggest issues of the day. Wherever the news may be, our correspondents are there. Listen to The Correspondents, Saturdays and Sundays on VOA.
Hashtag VOA. It's a weekly show, Tuesdays at 1730 UTC, where we bring you the top topics of the week. But the show lives on social media every day with your daily video shorts, What's Trending Wednesday, and the Friday Fast Five. Subscribe to the show at YouTube. You can find us at hashtag VOA. You can reach me at Twitter, at Perry Cal, or talk to the show anytime. Please don't forget to like us on Facebook. We like to be liked. We love to be seen. And you can reach us anytime.
A pair of country music veterans returned to the studio, Tragedy, at a Trace Atkins show, and Luke Bryan is kicking up the dust on tour. VOA's David Byrd and Nikki Strong hang out in the studio to talk country music.
Hi, everyone. I'm David Byrd, and I'm here with Nikki Strong. We're talking country music. Let's start off, Nikki, with a couple of veterans of country music, Merle Haggard and Willie Nelson. They have a new album out called Django and Jimmy. Tell me a little bit about
that. So Django and Jimmy, the album is going to be released June 2nd. So, and it's in honor of their two respective heroes. So Django Reinhardt, who is considered one of the best guitar players in the world.
Right.
And one of Willie Nelson's biggest influences. And then you have Jimmy Rogers, which is country music's first superstar.
Right.
And pioneer of the genre itself.
And someone to whom Merle Haggard has credited his love for country music, for listening to his song.
Yes, he actually did a whole album in tribute to him. So, and what's really good is that both Willie and Merle are good friends.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be good synergy. It's going to be good music. And they got together back in 1983 with Poncho and Lefty.
Poncho and Lefty, sure.
Yes, so this is a long time coming. So
wow.
I'm looking forward to hearing what they have in store. They also, on the CD, have a tribute to Johnny Cash.
Mm. Now, I understand both were really good friends with Johnny Cash, and they all had their Johnny Cash stories, and so they sat down and wrote this tune about him.
Yes.
And Johnny Cash, of course, died a few years ago, so he's another pioneer of country music and of rock and roll, too.
Yeah. I love the fact that they're two legends in their own right, paying tribute to legends.
Now, they have a song on this album called It's All Going to Pot.
Yes, they do.
Smoking some weed in the studio, were they?
Of course, if it's Willie Nelson.
Okay. Well, now, see, most people associate country music with drinking.
Willie has been very forthcoming with it, and even with this song, you know, and the video. They're very much like, light it up and let's go for it. And I think in light of everything that's happening in terms of legalization of marijuana, they're like, hey, let's sing about it. What the heck?
There was a bit of sad news. There was a Tennessee man who was arrested after running over some people at a Trace Adkins concert. Now, apparently this fellow had a little bit to drink.
Yes.
Was a vendor.
Yes.
And got into a dispute with somebody and then decided to run over them.
Well, what was crazy, he got into a dispute and then he went back to his SUV to get a gun, actually. This is what witnesses are reporting.
Mm.
And then he got into his SUV and then drove it into a crowd of people who were, you know, hanging around after the concert.
Wow.
He went right into a field. And it took someone else driving their Jeep into him to stop
Wow.
Yeah, so okay. one person died.
He has been arrested. This fellow has been arrested and is facing some pretty serious charges.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Luke Bryan.
Luke Bryan.
His album Crash My Party had 6 number one singles on it. It earned him 2 Entertainer of the Year awards.
Yes.
He's got a new one out called Kill the Lights, and we've got the first tune from that.
Yes, the CD Kill the Lights is set to be released Friday, August 7th. Mm. And he is really on fire right now. He has a new exhibit at the Country Music Hall of Fame that opened last week, mm-hmm. highlighting his career. And he's kicking off the Kick Up the Dust tour right now. So in honor of the tour and in honor of just good country rocker music, this is Luke Bryan's latest.
All right. It's called Kick the Dust Up. And if you have any comments or questions, you can always log on to our website. That's www.voanews.com. That's where you can also find Nikki's show.
Yes.
And we welcome your comments. Thanks for listening.
Kick the dust up. Back it on up. Fill your cup up. That's what's up, up. Let's kick the dust up.
Keeping that dust up. Well, if you'd like to listen to today's program again or any previous broadcast, please visit our website at voanews.com. Go to the Programs tab in the upper right-hand corner, then scroll down to International Edition. I'm Sarah Williams. Thanks for joining us.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Neglected tropical diseases, or NTDs, are chronic disabling illnesses that thrive in areas with poor sanitation, lack of clean drinking water, and scant access to medication. The World Health Organization has identified 17 of them as priorities for action. Some of them can be effectively treated and even eliminated with low-cost medications, in many cases donated by pharmaceutical companies. Getting these medications to where they are needed has been a daunting task, since these are diseases of the poorest of the poor. Their impact on individuals and communities can be devastating. NTDs impair intellectual development in children and reduce school enrollment. They limit the ability of infected individuals to work and thrive, thus trapping them in a cycle of poverty and disease. Today, over 1 billion people suffer from at least one NTD. In 2006, the U.S. Agency for International Development, or USAID, started a program addressing the 7 diseases that comprise 80% of all NTDs: lymphatic filariasis, blinding trachoma, onchocerciasis, schistosomiasis, and the 3 most common infections, the soil-transmitted parasites hookworm, roundworm, and whipworm. Back then, the program had a budget of $15 million to distribute 36 million treatments to 16 million people in 4 countries, said USAID Assistant Administrator Ariel Pablos Mendez. Today, it's $100 million and 240 million treatments distributed to 115 million people in 31 countries. The program is very successful for 3 reasons. First is USAID's partnership with the pharmaceutical sector, which has to date contributed $8.8 billion worth of medication. Second is USAID's partnership and coordination with the government of the United Kingdom's Department for International Development, which has allowed for a collective reach to almost 50 countries and the provision of 340 million treatments in 2014. And third, USAID's cooperation with host governments and the ability to build upon the existing infrastructure of national disease control and elimination programs. The elimination of these diseases of extreme poverty as a public health scourge is within our grasp, said USAID Assistant Administrator Pablos Mendez. USAID is committed to working with countries and our global partners to reach the remaining 800 million people who still need treatment.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. For a transcript of this and other VOA editorials, or to receive editorials by email, visit the VOA Editorials Internet homepage at www.voanews.com/editorials.